Hi, everyone. For the first time ever, welcome to the Comic Relief Podcast. I'm your host for this episode, Gracie, and I want to give a brief look into what comic relief really is. If you've listened to Mind Your Business, then this podcast should be an easy transition into a different side of Shelley Crampton. We all have different ways of coping, and one method seems to be the top contender in our household: humor. Don't worry, this podcast won't be only giggles and laughs, but will be a look into mental health and how humor can heal. We will go in-depth into common misconceptions of mental health, provide advice for those who phone in, and many more topics each week. For the first episode, Shelley wanted to give some insight into the name behind it all, Bluebird Counseling. In this episode, Shelley and myself will uncover the meanings behind the Bluebird itself and the personal connection she has to the name. We hope you all enjoy this new era for Bluebird Counseling, and we hope you find what you're looking for here. Whether you laugh, cry, or all of the above, comic relief will be there for it all. Okay, so basically for this first episode, we kind of want to dive into what the name means, Bluebird Counseling, because I feel like you haven't really talked about it much.
Right.
And we can kind of
And people
give
are curious.
A brief look into why you've named your entire, you know, mission behind this bird. So I'll start with like the symbolism. So bluebirds are widely recognized symbols of happiness, joy, and good fortune. Various cultures and belief systems have that. It's not specific to one, you know, group of people. I think the main thing to note about bluebirds is they don't really have any negative connotations.
I find that fascinating.
Which is kind of a surprising fact because, birds are very symbolic, and most of them, as many as I've ever seen, do have some negative connotations, at least one. So it's very interesting that, you know, they don't have any.
Mm-hmm.
They're also kind of viewed as like, if you see one, it's kind of an omen for like new beginnings or a fresh start. And I think that's kind of beautiful too in many ways, because that's something I think you can tie into your business of, this can be maybe not a fresh start, but something turning over.
I would
like
say it
new.
Was a fresh start. Yeah, it was a fresh start for me for sure. When I started this business, you know, it was coming out of being a clinical director elsewhere, and it was going out on my own for the first time, and I'd say that's definitely a new, fresh start, new beginning.
I just read something, too, as well, that is definitely going to tie into this episode. It says, bluebirds are also seen as symbols of connection between the living and those who have passed, particularly in the context of guardian angels or divine messengers.
Well, okay.
So I think that will perfectly tie into kind of your personal connection, so we can go into that now.
Absolutely.
If you'd like.
Absolutely. What do you think is the most important thing to know? Probably, it all started, I kind of always liked bluebirds, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it was something we talked about a lot. And I liked them a lot. And then Miranda Lambert, of course, had a song. And I loved that song. And I loved what it said. And keep a light on in my soul and a bluebird in my heart. And really, I would say, that probably epitomizes kind of what we're doing here, is teaching people through trauma stuff how to regulate their nervous systems, how to be connected to other people, how to be connected to self. And so if you think about it, isn't that exactly what we're doing? Keeping a light on in our soul. No matter how it goes around us, we can have a light on there. So I always laugh about that because I'm like, I don't always want to tell people it's from a song, but I love songs. I mean, I love music. Music is big in our household.
Yeah,
I'd
definitely
say.
Is.
Yeah, for sure.
In terms of that, that's kind of what kickstarted your love for bluebirds, but I kind of want to ask you about how it came to be in terms of your business and how you kind of navigate mental
Absolutely.
Health and your profession.
For me, the love of bluebirds was always there, right? And I have special people in my life who we've become connected to as family. They are not literally our family, but they might as well be, right? So I would say that the love of bluebirds has been there. And then there's always been these moments in our lives where we see symbols of something, or I don't want to call it signs because I don't know what I believe about that, but just little hints of love and connection and all of those things. And when I met my friend of, 17 years now, she started out being your preschool teacher. We can say that. We're going to give identifying factors. We won't call her out. But we became instant friends, and she had suffered great loss at that time, and we just connected, and it took us years to learn how to have the friendship that we have. We're more like sisters, I would say, than friends. And you their kids are more like your cousins, mm-hmm. honestly. And it grew into just a great friendship that is very supportive and wonderful. And her mother actually passed away the year before we met. So she was going through her own grief. And actually, it was just a really tough time. She had lost both of her parents within a year. There was a lot of grief and sadness and all of those things. But her mother had this beautiful gift, and she was an artist. She had I don't even know what you would say about her, but she was this lovely person who had a lot of love, a lot of light in her, and had the ability to do fantastic artwork, and shouldn't have been able to because she had some ailments that prevented her from even barely holding a brush, you know, just very difficult circumstance. And she was able to create this beautiful artwork. So that her artwork is all over the house. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful, gorgeous. And for years, like, we would find little tidbits of pieces, I would say, of her that she had left as reminders of her love, I think. You know, I don't know how that happens or how it works, but we would find these things. I took a picture of her daughter at a ballet thing, and a painting her mom did actually looked just like that picture.
Super costume, everything.
Isn't that crazy? You know, you're like, how does that happen? But I think it's just reminders of the love and the connection that they had. And she was just an incredible human being. And so when I started out on my own, we noticed that in her home, there was a lovely picture of the thing that I love, a bluebird, right? And so she gave it to me for Christmas, the painting that her mother had done. And what a great reminder of friendship and love and connection. And it's all the things that we do here at Bluebird. So I wanted to name my business after that bluebird and after really her mindset and what she left behind for her family, and the reminders of love and the reminders that you can be okay.
And I think it's also such a beautiful thing that even though we never got the opportunity to meet her, she still kind of exists in this way.
Yeah.
And has made such an impact on our lives as well as obviously theirs, but even without ever having met her. So I think it's kind of,
isn't it?
Beautiful, like, I mean, symbolism.
And the important aspects of my friend's life are illustrated in these paintings all over her house, and her mother didn't even experience those things with her. So I think we have these reminders of love and connection all around us, and we just have to kind of stop and notice sometimes.
So now that you've kind of gone into that, we're going to have to bring up something maybe a little painful, but at the same time, I think it's important.
Well,
we have tried to film this episode so many times, coming up on a year at this point.
Actually, yes.
And, you know, it's whether it's from scheduling conflicts or just not having time or the files get messed up. It's just it has not been able to come together. But now that we're doing it at this time, I honestly think even though there's been some setbacks, mm-hmm. we're doing it at a time that we definitely needed to do it at.
Yes.
And so,
yes.
Let's kind of get into your personal experience with grief and how that's kind of even more so emphasized the importance of the Bluebird in this company.
Yeah. So my mother passed away on March 20th. It has been really tough. It was unexpected in many senses. And unexpected in so many ways. So for us to kind of go through that has been difficult, but also reminded us that of the importance of being a laughing, fun, happy most of the time. And I won't say she was always happy, because that would be not being a human, right? But she tried to find ways just to be happy, like to find joy, not just happiness, but joy. And to exude that joy. And I think the Bluebird represents that very well.
Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to ask you as well, especially with what you do for a living, how have you navigated your own grief while also making sure you're taking time to do what you need to do in terms of your work?
Yeah, I will say that's not been completely easy. Mm-hmm. I did take some time off for myself, and I really, you know, wanted to allow myself the space to sit with the grief and feel the grief, because we have a tendency to want to just go over it and keep mm-hmm. going and keep moving, and we move very quickly in life and try to ignore it and try to go back to normal too soon. And I think America has really messed that up. But if grief were like any other thing that we go through, it would be treated very differently.
Yeah,
like, oh, you're good, she's in heaven, she's great, she's, that's fine, but I'm sad. And it's okay for me to be sad.
I think that's something people kind of ignore so many times. They mm-hmm. kind of want you to get better.
Yeah.
And not because...
Why do you think that is?
I think they mean it. I think there's two reasons. Personally, from my experience yeah. as someone who is not a therapist and probably not as mentally healthy as the rest of you.
That's okay.
I think there's some people that genuinely care about you and they want you to be okay because yes. they don't like that you're hurting. But I also think there's some people in your life, as horrible as it sounds, mm-hmm. they need you to get better for themselves because they can't handle it. It's not going to be everyone holding your hand helping you through it.
No.
But I think you'll also find that you don't need that.
Mm-hmm.
I think obviously having community and being surrounded by people that you love and care about you is important. Of course that's important. But I think also, like, you realize that you really do have yeah. yourself.
Yeah.
And it's something you can kind of work through. And it's not easy. I mean, it's no. I'm not going to sit here and say that we are healed and we are fine.
Everything's good.
I think people just kind of neglect the fact that you're allowed to feel upset.
Right.
Because that is a normal thing. The person that you love is no longer here. Mm-hmm. You don't get to see them again. It's upsetting. And I think people sometimes take negative feelings as like something really bad.
Yes.
But I think it's kind of important yes. to let yourself feel them, because it's eventually going to come out in some way.
Oh, no, I love that. You are obviously a child of a therapist. So, a brilliant therapist.
Well, yes.
Just kidding. But, you know, really, I think it's really important that you've learned to do that, because it is important that we just feel the feelings. You know, I am not someone who's saying I feel great or feel all together. I have brain fog like everyone else during grief. I don't even know what I'm saying half the time, you know. And I've asked for that space, even with my clients, to say, hey, you don't have to take care of me. But mm-hmm. I want you to know if I'm doing certain things that are bothering you, this is where that is coming from. So they learn it is also okay to just not be okay. You know, I'm still a safe space for them. And so I think that's important. Something you said that I do want to touch on is community. And mm-hmm. I am very fortunate to have a couple of really good friends who check on me, and really good people who allow me to do this how I need to do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing about grief. And you're right about people. They're uncomfortable with uncomfortable feelings. They're not really so much coming at you. They don't know how to do it themselves, or how they would do it,
mm-hmm.
so they check out. Some people cannot handle negative feelings. We weren't taught how to have them. You know, now I'm a trauma therapist, so I know how to have difficult feelings and to sit with a negative emotion for a little bit and let it, you know, simmer and then let it ease. And that's part of the flow that happens in your life when you get your nervous system a little more regulated and in check.
I also think a lot of people kind of put, I'm guilty of this as well, kind of put their therapist on too high of a pedestal, that you think that they are, because it does feel like this sometimes, they have all the answers and mm-hmm. they are perfect in a
yeah,
sense.
Yeah.
And I think we forget so often that they're human as well mm-hmm. and things happen to them. I mean, I would say 99% of your therapists are also in therapy themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I think that's important to remember
to
is
yeah.
that, well, obviously they're not going to come to you for their problems. They have them on their own. And so you have to kind of remember that they're human and that
yeah.
everyone needs a minute or
yeah.
or even just an acknowledgement of
yeah,
that they
I have
go
these
through it as
beautiful,
well.
Beautiful clients. And some of them came in and didn't even know how to walk into the room. You know, mm-hmm. they didn't want to be offensive by not saying something, but or intrusive by saying something.
Yeah.
And I will say that's friendship too. That people sometimes don't know what to do, so they do nothing.
Yeah.
And I will tell you this: I hope people will start to err on the side of just do something,
mm-hmm.
be something, show up, be around, even just for a minute. they don't need you to sit with them for hours and hours. Now, some of my people, God bless them, have had to. But that's because we know how to hold space for one another. You know, that's different.
Yeah.
But if you are just someone who's trying to figure out what to do for someone who's lost someone, show up. Mm-hmm. And you can show up in a number of ways. Just acknowledge. You know, acknowledge. Say their name. People who have lost people really want to hear their loved one's name because they don't get to hear it very often.
Yeah, I think that's
I didn't know that was a thing.
People are definitely afraid of maybe talking about them or asking about
bringing
them.
Bringing it up.
And yeah. Everyone's different. Keep mm-hmm. that in mind. I think you don't know the type of person you'll be in terms of grieving until you go through it.
Because
I had no idea the type of person I would be until it happened. Personally, for a lot of people, I think they want to talk about them because it mm-hmm. keeps them... It makes us remember that they
existed.
Lived. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think so often sometimes it feels like they're, as much as, you know, they do leave behind mm-hmm. their legacy and love and stuff, there's nothing physical of them. And mm-hmm. so it's like you want them to be remembered in that way. So I think it's okay to ask. It's okay to show up. It's okay to just sit there and say nothing as long as you're there.
Yeah. No, I agree with that wholeheartedly. And I think the most important thing for me personally right now is just being given the freedom to take a little time mm-hmm. and breathe and sit with it and not have to take care of everyone around me. And I'm not very good at that. I tend to take care of everything and everyone around me. And so I forget sometimes to slow down and say, I need some help. Mm-hmm. It's not easy for me to reach out. I admit that. It's one of my terrible toxic traits. I work on that constantly, but I have learned it is okay to say what you need. It doesn't mean people have to step up, but it does mean that I've opened myself up to the possibility of being helped and comforted. And it's okay that we need those things. We think we're supposed to just not need those things. Yeah, we all need that. Who doesn't need comforted sometimes? You know, who doesn't need acknowledgement sometimes? We don't need to live off of other people's, but it's okay to need that.
Yeah. I kind of want to go into another topic of kind of grief,
yes.
but kind of in the sense of the good that can come from it in a weird way.
Mm-hmm.
So I was watching an interview the other day. It's actually really weird. It's Andrew Garfield, of all people, but he lost his mom a few years ago, and there was an interview he did on like Jimmy Fallon or Jimmy Kimmel mm-hmm. or something. And he talked about grief, and he talked about that grief is just all of the love that you didn't get to show them. And mm-hmm. I think that's kind of beautiful.
I like
in
that.
A way.
Yeah.
And it makes sense. I mean, you are hurting so bad because you love that person so much. And I think as sad as that is, I think it's also what a privilege to be able to have loved somebody that much and for someone to have meant that much to you.
Yeah.
And so I kind of wanted to ask you, you know, when you go through grief, I want to say this to people just so, because I felt kind of isolated in this, but maybe telling it on here would make people understand that this is a very normal part of grief. You feel like a different person after it happens.
Well, you are.
And you feel like your life is completely different. And like, I thought that was a crazy thing for so long because I was like, why am I not able to like feel the same? But I think it is a normal part of grief. I just wasn't aware of. And so I kind of
wanted
to ask
shift.
You.
Yeah.
You gain like a new perspective kind of on grief. And I've kind of had a lot of shifting, you know, mm-hmm. thoughts and things. So in terms of the good that can come from it, how do you think that your grief has kind of helped you in a way in terms of maybe how you navigate, I don't know, mental health, life in general, or mm-hmm. just your everyday work life?
Well, I think it reminds me that we are all whole people. Like, we tend to sanctize people who pass away. And the truth is, they're just a whole person. Mm-hmm. They had bad moods. They were rude. They were not perfect people. My mother was not perfect. She was wonderful, but she was not perfect. None of us are. And so I think the reason why we do that is we think it has to be that way for us to feel so badly about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but no, you can feel badly if they were terrible people.
Yeah.
And some people have very, very complicated grief,
mm-hmm.
meaning, you know, a hard relationship or, you know, those kind of things. And I guess if you were to ask me, overall, in this sense of what we're talking about today, what is the most meaningful thing about it? I think I would say this. I would say that the loss of two women in our lives affected an entire business being born.
Mm-hmm.
to help people realize it is okay just to be human. My mom, I did not know my friend's mom, but I know she was she liked to laugh and she enjoyed things and she was kind, you know, and funny, super funny, because her daughter got it.
Yeah.
And my mom was a laughing mom. You know, she laughed at everything. Mm-hmm. Even things sometimes that weren't that funny.
Definitely, for sure.
I would be like, oh. I actually was told at the funeral that by a cousin of hers that I have her laugh sometimes. And so I was like, oh, I've never heard it. And you know what? Now I hear it.
Yeah,
isn't that weird?
That's so many things that you kind of realize once they're gone, is like how much they kind of live through us in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And you get told a lot more things that remind them of her from you. And I got that a lot too at the funeral, not about her laugh, but about, you look just like her when she was younger. And I was like, I've never been told that in my entire life. But I was like,
well, her sister looked just like her and we didn't notice.
Yeah, that was a crazy realization of, oh, wow, yeah, that's her.
And we're looking for her.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I shared this once before, but I'll share it again. I was watching a neuroscientist the other day. He was pretty cool. And he said that a literal part of your brain dies when someone close to you dies. So those triggers and synapses and all those things that are firing have nowhere to go. So that's why you're always looking for them or thinking they're coming through the door or, you know, those kind of things. I was like, wow, that's fascinating. So you can see grief is a very tangible, physical, real thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just, oh, move on and get over it. It is something that happens literally in your brain and is trying to connect to anything that's familiar to them. But some of that is gone, and literally. So I can see why people get stuck in their grief sometimes, you know, and it becomes something else, becomes more depressive and those kind of things. But I think how it's changed my perspective maybe is just being more aware that a lot of people are walking around grieving things we have no idea about.
Yeah, I also think, I mean, in terms of death, like our brains aren't really, you know, functioned in a way to process grief. I mean, death. I mean,
no.
It doesn't make sense. I feel like you can't fully wrap your head around it. About
someone's there and then they're not.
It's just not being there. So I think it just makes so much sense that grief is just so complicated at times.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, you know, one straight thing for everybody. It's different. And I just think that that's important to remember, that it's not supposed to be okay.
Yeah. And I'm very big on a term we call spiritual bypassing. And I'm almost hesitant to talk about it. But here, I think it's very important. And we've talked about it on our other podcast, is spiritual bypassing says, I can't deal with it, so I'm going to say it in a spiritual way to make myself feel better. And everyone gets to do grief how they need to. If you need to paint a pretty rainbow and you need to do all these things, that's beautiful. But I want to face it. I want to say, no, this is what is in front of me and this is real to me and I'm not going to ignore it so it gets shoved down for years and years. I don't think there's a wrong way to do grief. I think sometimes you have to go through phases of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not much on just saying, oh, it's fine because Jesus is in control. It also says Jesus wept when he lost his friend.
Mm-hmm.
So I think grief is a natural process that we have. But it's not one that needs to be placated with happy thoughts all the time. It's okay to have happy thoughts too. Please don't get me wrong. I think we have laughed a lot after all this.
Mm-hmm.
My mom would love that, right?
Yeah.
You know, but I think it is also okay to be sad about it. It's okay to feel the pain. It's okay to feel the happy. And I think an integrated brain, a regulated nervous system can do that.
Yeah.
And if you're not, it's a good thing to work toward.
Yeah. Speaking in terms of the being allowed to be sad, or it's okay to be sad. Mm-hmm. I remember at the funeral, somebody came up to me and they were like, you know, she wouldn't want you to be upset today. And the only thing I think,
let me tell you,
I'm going to be honest,
not true.
I think I might have said this to them. I said, she would have wanted us to be on our knees sobbing. Did you know her?
Yeah.
Like, she was the type of woman that this was going to be her day.
Yeah.
It would have been her favorite day. Everyone there for her. She got a bunch of flowers.
Yeah.
It would have been.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Her favorite day. She loved attention.
She didn't mind it. She did not mind it. She liked it in the way that was comfortable to her. Let's say it that way. But she could make an entire, you know, room laugh by just laughing. you know, seriously. Like, yeah. And no, you're right. I always tell you guys that too.
Yeah, for yours.
I was like, no. I need you to be sad.
Yeah, when people are like, some people are like, I want it to be a party, a celebration. I'm like, I want you on your
and there's
on the floor sobbing.
And you know what? There's nothing wrong with the celebration
nothing
thing
at all.
Either. I think the thing is we think it has to be that.
Yeah, you think it has to.
I don't think it has to
be
either way.
Good.
Yeah, it doesn't have to. It can be either way. And it and however you need to do grief is beautiful 100%. For you. You know, that is beautiful, but don't expect that for other people. And mm-hmm. I think we judge other people according to that.
I think so too. I think if you're not willing to, you know, after you lose someone, to start a foundation or be super happy or make something in their honor, then you're not doing it right. Mm-hmm. And I think it's okay to be like, no, I'm upset. I don't want it to be happy. I want it to be really depressing and sad.
Now, don't get me wrong. I want y'all to be really sad, but then I want y'all to laugh your heads off.
Yeah,
you know what
I'm
saying?
Yeah, I think that's important. Yeah. But I think so often now, especially in this day and age, people need it to be something beautiful the next day. And mm-hmm. I'm like, it's not going to for so many people.
Yeah. And for some people, it is.
And some people it is. And that's great. But it's not for a lot of people, I think. And I think people get a little bit pressured into making it something okay so quickly.
Yeah.
When, I mean, it's very normal for this to take a long time. I think mm-hmm. something I found, we'll kind of end on this.
Yeah.
I saw a metaphor for grief the other day that, I don't know, I really liked. Like, when it first happens, it's like a huge ball in this tiny little box. And you're like, it is so, like, this. Mm-hmm. It's taking up the entire space of this box. Like, there's no room for it.
Makes sense.
And you find over time, the box gets bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the size of the ball doesn't change, but the box gets bigger.
I love that.
So it's easier maybe a little bit for it to exist in that box. And that's what I think is important to note, especially in terms like for me, the fact that this happened mm-hmm. and like the actual grief for me will stay the same.
Absolutely.
But I
life
will
grows
be
around
able
it.
To live with it.
Life grows around it.
And so I
think love
that's
that.
Important. I think people think so often it'll get better. It'll get easier. And maybe so, but at the same time, the hurt that you feel will always kind of hurt in that same way.
Yeah.
Sometimes for me personally, I have good days where I feel really great and I feel like I want to talk about her and I think it's great and we can remember her. And then there's some days where it feels like it just happened all over again.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's important to note that like this pain will probably stay the same, but everything else will start to feel a little bit bigger mm-hmm. too. And so it won't feel so in the front of your mind or in that tiny box.
It's learning to navigate grief and making it become a part of self instead of something to get over. It is a part of you now. Mm-hmm. You know, it is a part of who you are, but it doesn't have to be everything that defines you. It is a part of who you are. It becomes more integrated in your body.
Sorry guys, in terms of this episode does not really match the name. Sorry, we said comic relief. Let's talk about grief. Okay. Let's do grief.
Let's think the worst thing we could talk
that
about.
Is the worst thing we can think of. Oh, let's
grief.
Do death. Let's do death and let's do grief. But I think that kind of wraps it up today.
Right.
Thank you guys so much for listening to the first episode. This is kind of a different vibe from the other podcast, especially, I mean, I'm also a different person than the other people in mm-hmm. the podcast. But I hope that, you know, this episode kind of helps you in terms of learning her story, but also kind of maybe learning more about grief and how that may look for you. We hope you kind of get a sense of what this podcast will be. This will not be like the other episodes, promise. But yeah, we hope you enjoyed. We hope you learned something, and we'll see you guys the next episode.